This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Expectations are high as a U.S. delegation is part of talks in Cairo on the U.S. proposal to release hostages held by Hamas and end the fighting in Gaza. The White House South Lawn today, President Trump.
They're in negotiation right now as we speak. They've started the negotiation. It'll last a couple of days. We'll see how it turns out, but I'm hearing it's going very well.
Israel says it will not carry out offensive attacks in Gaza during the talks. Today at the White House, President Trump continued to make these comments about Portland, Oregon, that a federal judge he appointed said don't reflect the facts.
Portland is burning to the ground. It's insurrectionists all over the place. It's Antifa.
No, it's not, says the governor, the mayor, and city officials. No bombs, no fires, no unrest, as the judge temporarily stops the president from sending National Guard to Portland. Day five of the federal government shutdown, no negotiations indicated. This is ABC News. Opposition to giving you this information up front, closer to when you part with your dough. ABC's Jim Ryan.
A federal appeals court in Louisiana will reconsider its decision on a Biden-era rule requiring airlines and ticket agents to disclose ancillary fees up front during the booking process. Several airlines have challenged the previous decision, which was put on hold in July of last year.
Already rolling out some holiday season sales are some big retailers like Walmart, Target, and Amazon. It's never too early to start planning ahead to be ready for sales, says a shopping expert, Trey Bodge.
I always recommend making a list of the holiday gifts you intend to buy, and then maybe any household essentials, and then kind of tackle it in an organized manner.
25 small hot air balloons, some of them carrying smuggled cigarettes, entered Lithuanian airspace this weekend, forced the shutdown of Vilnius Airport, delaying flights for hours, says Lithuania's National Crisis Management Center. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shally Pittman. With record high Lyme disease cases in Wisconsin, a new antibody treatment aims to provide seasonal protection against the disease by offering passive immunity. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Public News Service has more.
Lyme disease is a tick-borne infection caused by the Borrelia burgdorferi bacteria. Seth Letterman heads Tonic Pharmaceuticals, the company licensing the antibody treatment. He says it works by neutralizing a key component of the bacteria.
There are about 70 million people in the United States who are in areas where there's significant infestation with ticks infected with Borrelia. And right now, there are not good alternatives to treat it.
Wisconsin saw nearly 6,500 cases of Lyme disease in 2024, the highest on record. Letterman says the intention of the antibody treatment is to provide seasonal protection, with people receiving it in spring for protection through summer and fall. The antibody was developed at the University of Massachusetts and differs from a vaccine treatment by providing what Letterman calls passive immunity, meaning it requires no work from the body's immune system. That's unlike vaccines, which he explains can cause issues for people with immune system problems.
Vaccines have issues relating to waking up the immune system in one way or another. So I think that the tolerability of antibodies is generally favorable relative to a vaccine.
Letterman emphasizes that that people who have had Lyme disease don't develop protective immunity naturally. 20% go on to develop chronic symptoms, which can be severely debilitating. It will be a while before the treatment is available. An initial trial phase has been completed, with clinical trials set to begin in the next 2 years. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
More news anytime at civicmedia.us.
107.7 WRCE, news from the center and home to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Sunny, breezy, and quite warm again, though not quite as hot as yesterday, a high of 83. For tonight, scattered showers and a few thunderstorms developing, lows in the low to mid-50s. On Monday, scattered showers and cooler with highs in the mid-60s. Right now, 75 degrees.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome the Mulva Cultural Center's Katie Compton, then filmmaker and founder of Chair on Stair Films, Derek Pfister, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hello and welcome to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I am Dr. Kristen Lierley and we are going to have a lot of fun today. I'm here with my dear friend, Dr. Laura Hanks. Dr. Hanks, at your cervix. Dr. Hanks, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's so good to see you. And I just feel so honored that you asked me to be here today.
Well, we have a lot to talk about.
Oh, man. Do we? We always do, though. You know, like there's always so much excitement going on in our world. Usually yeah. Not of the good variety, but we try to, you know, keep our heads up and keep fighting for our patients, right? Like that's what keeps driving us and keeps us coming back to this.
And what makes it so necessary for us to be connected with each other and support each other. And
absolutely.
We understand each other, like we speak the same language, we have the same experiences, and these experiences, especially recently, have been pretty challenging.
Yeah, we called ourselves the OBGYN sorority in residency.
Yeah, it is like that. Yeah. I mean, we were just talking earlier. So on the day that we're taping is the day that Planned Parenthood announced that they are going to temporarily pause abortion care in Wisconsin. And we were just talking about how we woke up this morning and saw this headline and we're like, what just happened? How?
It felt very reminiscent of how I woke up after the Dobbs decision. And we had a little more heads up about that, but it still felt very jarring. I had just moved back to Wisconsin. I had a 3-month-old, just started my new job here. And it just feels heavy. It feels like, I know that my patients are going to be asking me questions that I'm not going to know the answers to. And as a doctor, we generally like to know.
Right.
You know, and not, you know, there are questions I've been asked before that I don't know. But in general, we want to be able to give our patients good guidance. And right now, I feel very like a fish out of water. I know I'm not going to have great answers. And that's scary.
It's unnecessary because we actually do know the answers. We know the right medical answers for our patients. But in this political environment, it is so paralyzing. You can't function because the thing that you know your patient needs and that your patient is seeking, we can't do that for them in many cases here in Wisconsin. And it's further complicated by where they live. So you're in Madison, I'm in Green Bay, but what if you live in Hayward or Wausau? And what if you're already struggling to pay for food and you can't afford gas and you can't travel? Like how do you get your birth control and your information? And if you need access to abortion care, how?
I want to be very clear for those that don't understand that like these laws that affect our patients, it is about taking away bodily autonomy. It is about not helping people that are born with uteruses. Like I don't care like the nuances, like that is what it comes down to. And you mentioned people having to travel and things like that. When we weren't providing abortions after the Dobbs decision for those 15 months, I had a patient who had a anomaly of the fetus. She needed to terminate. She was a little bit further on because we didn't know until later, which is very common in those situations. She had to go out of state to get her termination. And because she was sitting in a car for so long, she was at risk for getting a blood clot because she was pregnant. She was sitting in a car and she'd had a surgery and she got a blood clot and she had to go to the emergency room and had to be on long-term medication, essentially blood thinners. This is harmful to our patients. Like, I don't know how else. Like, these are real patients that are being harmed by this legislation. And it's not about saving a buck here or there. It is harmful to our patients. That I just want to really drive that home. And it really infuriates me because this is what you and I went into because we wanted to help this patient population. And it feels like being a doctor this day and age, we are just having roadblock after roadblock to do the right thing for our patients. And it's...
Can you imagine what it would be like to run a clinic, to be a doctor in a place where your patient comes to you and they say, this is what I need. I'm having a problem. And you talk through it and you do all the diagnostic things and you come up with a solution. And your patient says, this is what I would like to do. And you say, I can do that. Let me help you. And you do that with them and they're grateful. And then you get to follow up with them and you get to take actual true care of them, not just at that moment, but long-term, that relationship is there. That's just common sense. That is how it should be. But women's health is not like that in this country. And increasingly, it's getting less and less like that.
I think you just described like a cardiologist appointment or right. You see an orthopedic surgeon. Like that's their reality. And I think that that's what's hard for us is that when we talk to at colleagues that are not in OBGYN, you know, friends from medical school, for example, I often, you know, I'm still close with a lot of my medical school classmates. And when I tell them some of the things I have to deal with and they're doctors, they're in this and they're just like the faces that they make, they're like, what? You have to do what? You have to deal with what? Like, I don't even read the news half the time. And I'm like, well, I have to because it affects my job.
Could you imagine an orthopedic surgeon being afraid that they would go to jail because they did a knee replacement for somebody? But that is our reality. That is our reality.
Yeah. And we're, you know, and I don't want to say we're happy to do it, but we are going to do it because we went into this because we're passionate about this care. And, you know, I get how there are some people that are burned out in our profession and have to take a step back. And I mean, I think that's part of this too, is trying to burn us out, to make us tired. But
people like you and me, we have the opposite reaction. We're like, oh, okay.
Now what?
It's true. And it's really made a lot of us, especially the new legion of OBGYNs who are coming forward, better advocates, smarter, more willing to speak up because our patients need us. Our patients don't know that this is their reality. They just think they're going to get care until they come to us and we have to give them the bad news that politicians are robbing them of their care. And, you know, could we just like pivot a little bit and talk about Tylenol and pregnancy? Because here's the thing. This is the thing that gets me the most. First of all, Tylenol in pregnancy does not cause autism. So now having said that, when
Can I also just a quick sign? Causation.
Yes.
Like understanding how a scientific study works took me years of postgraduate study.
There are different types of studies and they give you different information and they take a long time and they're complicated. And sometimes they say one thing and sometimes they say another thing. And it depends on who you study and where you study and how you study. There's a lot.
Yes. So I just want to throw that out there. Like, these studies that have been brought up that have said that there is a link are low quality, low evidence, didn't actually make a connection between Tylenol and autism. Because I think that it's important for us to say that, like, what we understand, that there is no link. You know, we can't say necessarily there's no data, because there is this data, but it's crappy data.
Well, and some studies show an association, and other studies show there's no association, but there's no study that shows a cause. There's no study that looked at, does Tylenol cause autism? Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important to say that. And I think it's also really important to say, we also want a cure for autism, but it has to be done with good science. You can't use junk science and cherry pick, because then you get a junk answer. So you really have to follow the science and be objective and be humbled by the science, not control it to fit your narrative. Yeah.
So anyway, what were you going to say about Tylenol?
So here's the thing that gets me. Watching Donald Trump talk about Tylenol, which is also called acetaminophen, for those of you who are paying attention. He was saying, don't take it. Tough it out. That was the thing. Tough it out. And all I could think was, you would never tell a pregnant woman to tough it out. You have absolutely no idea what people go through in their pregnancies. Some people have easier pregnancies. Some people have grueling pregnancies, but almost nobody gets out of pregnancy without having pain, discomfort, worry, stress, whatever. So to tell people to tough it out, first of all, the Trump administration wants you to get pregnant and have lots of babies, but then they want you to tough it out and have pain and not be able to treat your symptoms, which is dangerous. Then they want you to also deliver your baby, but not in a rural hospital, because they're going away because they're defunding Medicaid. And by God, do not get an abortion or any postpartum care, especially if you live in Wisconsin. We're not funding postpartum care. So good luck, ladies. Get on that baby train.
It's giving Handmaid Tell vibes. Couple thoughts on that is that to have a very privileged white male stand up there and tell women or people with uteruses to tough it out, like, made me sick to my stomach. Second of all, yes, we use Tylenol for pain, and yes, it is the safest thing in pregnancy for pain. But what really got me was when he said, oh, there's no downside to not taking it, because that is 100% not true.
Correct.
If you have a fever in early pregnancy, we know from good data that high fevers, high temperatures in a maternal body is associated with neural tube defects. Okay, so that's why we tell patients not to get in hot tubs when they're early pregnant, not to, have untreated fevers. So him saying that is just so wrong and harmful.
Right.
That's what really, I was like, he's just skirting right over that. And since when does the president of the United States stand up and make a statement like that? Like, do not take this medication. There's no downside to it. I was like, who the hell do you think you are? Like, and why are you not saying, talk to your doctor about this in these situations? Because not only can you not pronounce the medication that you're giving these wildly inaccurate statements about, not even, you just skipped over all the doctor, like, advice, and that, again, that patient-doctor relationship that is so essential to the care that we give, it just threw it all out the window. And it was offensive and infuriating and every other adjective.
Yes, yes.
We are fired up today. I'm sorry. You got me.
I don't think we talk enough about the patient-doctor relationship. It is therapeutic, and it's so... underrated. I think we think about doctoring as, I went there, I had a problem, I got a pill and I'm better. But when you know your doctor and when your doctor knows you, there is a therapeutic angle to that as well. And we have a lot more to talk about, but first we have to take a little bit of a break. So we're hanging out right now. This is Dr. Laura Hanks. She's in Madison. She's Dr. Hanks at your cervix. How can people find you? I love that.
I recently, I'm going to show my age here. I'm a little old. I just discovered TikTok.
Oh, boy. And so your TikTok handle is?
Dr. Hanks at your cervix. And my Instagram handle, also Dr. Hanks at your cervix. So come check me out. We're still figuring it out, having some fun videos and trying to get some good medical information out there.
Yeah. And it's about having the conversations, getting in good information, sharing advice, asking questions, and also humanizing doctors. I loved that piece of it. So we're going to humanize ourselves a little bit more when we come back from this break. We're going to do some myth busting. And Dr. Hanks, are we going to talk about trans care?
You know, I think we should. I think that's an important patient population. And we can talk a little bit about what that means and what that looks like in your OBGYN office.
Sounds great. All right. When we come back, this is Dr. Kristen Lierley. You're listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show.
News from the center, WRCE.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Matt Nair on air.
He joins us every Friday at this time for some recombobulation. He is also Civic Media's political editor. Dan Schaefer is here.
Tom Tiffany has made it official. He is running for governor. I think he is a Trump endorsement and a strong fundraising quarter away from clearing the field.
Well, but Tony Weed has endorsed him, which is like being Trump adjacent.
It's like the transitive property of endorsements.
Yes.
It's the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, only just sad.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Milwaukee Brewers radio broadcasts give you reasons to get excited, keep you informed, and provide a great laugh. It's awesome listening on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 Richland Center.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley, and I'm here with Dr. Laura Hanks. Dr. Hanks, at your cervix. And we're just chatting about all things OBGYN. If you've ever wondered what OBGYNs talk about, welcome. You brought up during the break that we were talking beforehand about having a relationship with your doctor, but you took that to a whole different level, didn't you?
Yeah. So, you know, when you live in a small town, you're bound to have friends that get pregnant. A lot of time, I've had a lot of really good conversations with people. They say, who should I have as my doctor? I feel like they kind of will tiptoe around, like, if it's me or not. So I try to take the initiative of, like, I would be honored to be your doctor. However, I try not to do that because I don't want to, like, make people feel weird. But I'm like, I respect that this is a very vulnerable time in your life. And this is a very important time in your life. And if you feel like our relationship is, you'd rather just keep that separate from the doctor-patient relationship, I honestly am totally fine with that, because I have been pregnant and I get how hard that can be. And I understand that people, you know, sometimes don't want that. So then I'm lucky that I work with a lot of fantastic people, and just, I'll have them go there. But recently I had a couple of my friends that did want to, deliver with me, and they were actually, we all went to the same CrossFit gym. So we would work out together, and it was kind of nice, 'cause I'd be like, actually, I don't want you to do that movement. Like,
and they weren't like, I maybe should have chosen a different doctor.
They loved it. They told me to my face that they loved it. And then it was just such a cool experience, because I ended up, the stars aligned and I could be there for their deliveries. And so the local news came, and we did a little piece about exercise and pregnancy, because I really, like, it's not about me. I wanted to like highlight these awesome ladies that like were working out before and then working out after having a baby, and kind of bust the myth that like some people hear that will say you can't work out in pregnancy, and that's just not true. You should exercise. But if you weren't running marathons before, you shouldn't train for a marathon during. You know what I mean? Like, you need to tailor to what your body is used to. Like, you shouldn't, you know, be doing more than you were before. And so figuring out that and working with your doctor, your physical therapist, whatever. And at our gym, the gym owner like has taken a class on postpartum and pregnancy care and has
fabulous
training. Yeah. And he like runs idea. He'll send me videos all the time. So we talk a lot about it, which is like really rad. Like, it's a very cool relationship. So that's CrossFit Sanctify out on the east side of Madison for anyone that's in the area and interested. It's just a great, great gym, and really can like work with you during pregnancy, after pregnancy, or not related to pregnancy at all.
It is so important, though. And I think exercise in pregnancy is one of those myths that needs to be busted. And I love how you use your life in your experience and your relationships to teach people something. What myths do we need to bust in pregnancy? Like, here's one that came up. One of our fans asked this question. Is it possible that you can get pregnant during your period? Dr. Hanks?
Yes. Yes, it is.
How is that possible?
You know, I was thinking before this, I wish I had my, in my office, I have, you know, the uterus and like, I'm such a visual learner. I'm just like, well, look at my diagram. So eggs come from the ovaries. And then the way I kind of describe the anatomy is then they go down the road of the fallopian tube to park in the garage of the uterus.
Nice.
And that's where the fun stuff happens, where sperm can meet and you can get pregnant. Now, not everyone has a normal cycle of have bleeding, and then 28 days later they have bleeding again, and then they somewhere in the middle they ovulate, which means the egg comes from the ovary and you can get pregnant. Some people have very regular periods, and they can be, you know, 45 days or every 3 months, and then it's very hard to know when they ovulated or when an egg was released. And so they can have random spotting and also be ovulating at the same time. So a big myth for people that know the term PCOS or polycystic ovarian syndrome, I still have patients that I've seen that are like, well, a doctor told me many years ago, I have PCOS, so I can't get pregnant, and they're not on birth control. And that's like the face I make. I'm like, you well, there can are... absolutely get pregnant with PCOS. It's harder because the ovulation time is a little different. But yeah, and like that's very confusing.
Well, yeah. And there are two reasons why people on PCOS, I mean, two fundamental reasons, might need birth control. One is to prevent pregnancy. One is you need something to make sure that your periods are either regular or managed, because having those irregular periods, that puts you in a bad situation, doesn't it?
Yes, it can increase your risk of endometrial cancer or like pre-malignant conditions. So it is really important to talk to your doctor about that and having some sort of protection of the uterine lining. The way that I heard on a podcast a couple years ago, like how to describe PCOS, if you want to go there, but it's kind of like the you know, it's everything's hormonally related. So it's basically like the hormones that come from the brain that tell the ovaries to ovulate and continue having a cycle and then a period. It's like there's a rave going on. And so like, ovaries are like, hey, are we supposed to ovulate? And like, and the rest of the body's like, and then like, they're like, I don't know, let's just like throw out an egg now. It's just like, and I actually use that with patients a lot, and they're like, oh, okay. And I'm like, but like birth control pills are like the like Debbie Down, they're like, they like calm down the rave and kind of just like make it so it's a more of that like cycle, that, you know, that pretty graph that we see in med school and makes our brains explode. Just this ups mm-hmm. and downs of hormones that is more of what we're looking for.
It's all those different hormones doing different things at different times. It's like a symphony where these instruments come in here and those instruments come in there. And when it all comes together and you've practiced it, it's perfect and it's beautiful. But when something gets messed up, it's very messed up, and it definitely can cause problems in the future, including unplanned pregnancy and endometrial cancer. And that's why it's so important to make sure that your periods are regular. And I think a lot of people think that if their periods are irregular, that that is their regular, but that's not okay. So it is really important to know if your periods are irregular, talk to your doctor, get it evaluated. We likely have a solution for you. Hey, we got to take a break. Okay, we're talking with Dr. Laura Hanks. She is Dr. Hanks at Your Cervix. I am Dr. Kristen Lyerly. It's two OBGYNs inviting you to our conversation. We'll be back. This is the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
107.7 WRCE News from the Center.
And home to Matt and Air on Air weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Expectations are high as a U.S. delegation is part of talks in Cairo on the U.S. proposal to release hostages held by Hamas and end the fighting in Gaza. The White House South Lawn today, President Trump.
They're in negotiation right now as we speak. They've started the negotiation. It'll last a couple of days. We'll see how it turns out, but I'm hearing it's going very well.
Israel says it will not carry out offensive attacks in Gaza during the talks. Today at the White House, President Trump continued to make these comments about Portland, Oregon, that a federal judge he appointed said don't reflect the facts.
Portland is burning to the ground. It's insurrectionists all over the place. It's Antifa.
No, it's not, says the governor, the mayor, and city officials. No bombs, no fires, no unrest, as the judge temporarily stops the president from sending National Guard to Portland. Day five of the federal government shutdown. No negotiations indicated. This is ABC News.
The crew clobbers the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers getting ready for game two of their playoff series with the Cubs a little after 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Yesterday, the Brewers beat the Cubs 9-3 thanks to scoring six runs in the first inning against Cubs starter Matthew Boyd, who only lasted an inning. After the loss, Cubs manager Craig Counsell was asked.
Craig, even though he threw 58 pitches, is 3 days rest always that dicey sort of situation no matter what?
Yeah, I mean, we picked Matt Boyd to pitch. I don't know what to say. He pitched, didn't go well. We got to make decisions. I was very comfortable putting Matt Boyd on the mound.
The Brewers' Jackson Chourio had to leave the game after running into first to beat the throw, Pat Murphy.
He's getting the MRI right now. You know, obviously it's real scary having that same hamstring injury to the same leg.
College football, the Badgers started a new quarterback, Hunter Simmons, who led the team on an opening scoring drive, but Wisconsin losing at Michigan 24-10. With sports from American Family Field in Milwaukee, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Peaky Blinders is the gift that keeps on giving to its loyal fans. Netflix and the BBC have announced that the popular show about the Shelby crime gang is getting a two-season sequel, according to Screen Rant. The period drama, created by Stephen Knight, will have six episodes in each season that will air on BBC One in the UK and Netflix worldwide. The new seasons will pick up after the Peaky Blinders movie, also written by Knight, called The Immortal Man. There is no release date yet for the film, which stars Cillian Murphy, Stephen Graham, and Rebecca Ferguson. There were rumors that the movie would be the end of the franchise, but that no longer appears to be the case. Knight says that the show will follow a new generation of Shelbys in the sequel. The Immortal Man will act as a bridge between the original show, which ran for six seasons, and the new iteration. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. And
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Sunny, breezy, and quite warm again, though not quite as hot as yesterday, a high of 83. For tonight, scattered showers and a few thunderstorms developing, lows in the low to mid-50s. On Monday, scattered showers and cooler with highs in the mid-60s. Currently, it's 76.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. We think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Derek Van Orden over on our Facebook page jumped into our comment section. Derek Van Orden can get as snooty as he wants with reporters. He can get as confrontational in comment sections. He can use all the cuss words that he wants. And he said 18 U.S. Code subsection 2331. Look it up. Well, we did. It doesn't cover social media posts that make a congressman get his fee-fees all hurt.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll review the Badgers game at Michigan and also the Brewers taking on the Cubs over the weekend. Where are we at in the NLDS? Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air will join us and talk a little news as well.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I am Dr. Kristen Lierley, and my guest is Dr. Laura Hanks from Dr. Hanks at Your Cervix. And we are talking about all things women's health. There's no question that we will not address. And if you missed the beginning of our conversation, please check it out on anywhere where you get your podcasts, including, you know, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, all those places. And, you know, you can find me at Dr. Kristen Lierley on all the socials. And Dr. Hanks, how can people find you on the socials?
I am currently on TikTok and Instagram at Dr. Hanks at Your Cervix.
Adorable. Not your service, but your cervix.
Even if you don't have one.
Yeah, right. It's everybody. And when we left off with the last segment, we were talking about periods. And you were dying to make a point about periods that I'm so glad you were dying to make. Take it away, Dr. Hanks.
So we were talking about the importance of controlling hormones, especially if you have a PCOS or have irregular periods, and how important that is for protection of the endometrial lining, which is the lining of the uterus. But I have a lot of patients that say, well, don't I have to have a period every month? Like, doesn't the blood get stuck somewhere or something like that? But actually, you don't. You can take birth control pills or other forms of contraception and use that constantly and not have a period. And it's not like the blood is getting stuck somewhere. It's actually going back to that line. I feel like we're talking about endometrium a lot. Going back to that lining of the uterus, when that's nice and thin, there's nothing to bleed, which is pretty rad. So again, as people born with uteruses, as we've been reminded by the US government that we're supposed to suck it up and deal with these kind of things, turns out science has found a way that you don't have to do that. You can live period free. Another great form of that is an IUD with progesterone. We have IUDs with copper and ones that have progesterone in them. There's a couple different flavors of those. You can talk to your doctor about the best one for you, but it goes inside the uterus, gives a low level of progesterone, keeps that lining nice and thin, and people either have very light periods or no periods at all, which is pretty rad if you ask me.
Girl, I love my IUD. It was yes. I mean, not having to deal with a period every month was amazing. And it doesn't work for everybody. Some people still have the periods, but for most people, periods get at least significantly lighter. And heavy periods is one of the most common reasons why people come and talk to us.
Should we talk about IUD and pain control?
That seems
to be a big...
Are you reading my mind right now?
Seems like such a natural way to go. I get so angry when I hear about patients that weren't offered pain control. And I'm like, find a new doctor. You know, like this is, I get that coming into the OB-GYN is not everyone's favorite. It's not, you know, people don't like to come see us. A lot of people, I have a lot of patients that like, I really love it. But I get that it's kind of an awkward place, right? So you should feel comfortable with your doctor first and foremost. And I know personally, like I said before, I'm not everyone's cup of tea. And if you're not comfortable with me, find another doctor. I would never be upset about that.
Yep.
But when we're talking about IUDs, great form of birth control, the progesterone IUD, great form of uterine lining protection, that endometrium we keep talking about, and also helping with heavy bleeding. If you're someone that gets really heavy periods, or if you just don't want a period at all, that it's great, but it's an
IUD. And pain.
And pain, yeah. Mm-hmm. So coming back to pain. So IUD stands for intrauterine device, meaning that it does need to go into the uterus. It's really about this big. It's like maybe an inch or two. It's like people think it's like this huge, crazy thing.
But your uterus is only as big as your fist.
Yeah.
And it has to fit inside. So it's tiny.
That's why we call it a cuterus.
I do call it a cuterus.
But
we
you
love
know,
our jobs.
Whenever you put something inside said uterus, the uterus is a big muscle and it tries to contract down, and that's uncomfortable. IUDs going in are uncomfortable. So when you talk to your doctor, there are things we can do. Absolutely, ibuprofen. Everyone that can take ibuprofen should take ibuprofen beforehand. I have a lot of patients that are like, that's not going to do anything. But really, that ibuprofen, the way that it works, and we don't need to get into the mechanism of action, but it is really good for uterine cramping pain. So definitely take that before. We also have something called a cervical block, which is where we can inject a local anesthetic like lidocaine with epinephrine or just plain lidocaine right next to the cervix. That's not going to take the pain away, but we do have studies that show that it does decrease people's pain scores. We also, if you're really anxious, you could talk to your doctor about some sort of anti-anxiety medication. Again, not going to take the pain away, but will just make you a little bit more calm for the procedure. Definitely have to have a driver if you're going to go that route. And if all that still sounds like something that you're just isn't going to work for you, I take patients to the OR for this procedure sometimes. Sometimes you just need to go to sleep. And it's not fully asleep, like full, like tube down the throat. Like you're asleep enough that you can protect your own airway. The procedure takes, honestly, like 30 seconds.
It's so fast.
I have so many patients that are like, oh, you're done. You know, it is very quick. And it's just such a great thing. So I just want another miss. I guess this should be our missed busting segment. Like we are pro pain control for IUDs. So please ask your doctor about it and what's right for you. Cause we have things that are out there that can help.
And also the psychological piece, a huge part, everybody's pain is different. And you know what your pain threshold is. And I think a lot of people experience pain because they've experienced trauma in their past or sexual abuse. And all of that comes up when you go see your gynecologist.
Absolutely.
So it's really important to have that conversation so that we can do a gentle exam, a thoughtful exam, so that you don't feel like a victim of your exam, but you are a partner with your exam. Before I do any sort of an exam, I'll say, you are in control here. So if at any point you want me to stop,
absolutely,
just say the word and I'll stop.
You say it and we're done.
We're done. But yeah. I think a lot of people haven't had that experience because they were, you know, they didn't used to train us the way that they do now. And
absolutely.
We didn't used to speak up as women. We just kind of took it. We toughed it out, Laura.
Mm-hmm.
We toughed it out.
We did. I also love what you said. Like I try to talk about like the ambiance of the room. Like if you want lighter lights, if you want your partner or a friend to be with you, if you want a playlist.
I love the playlist. My IUD playlist. I've had patients do that before.
I had a patient recently that like I saw them in the morning and then there was a scheduling mishap. And so we ended up doing it in the afternoon. I said, go home, make a playlist. And she came back. She came back in our playlist. And then of course, somehow Taylor Swift came up.
Uh-huh.
Her playlist was My OB-GYN is a Swiftie. That's what she titled it. So we had a great old time.
Oh, I bet she was like, no, one more song. And you were like, I've got more patients to see.
Go now. And the procedure, we didn't even get through half a song. That's how fast it is too. You know, like I think she had this whole long playlist for you. And I was like, well, you know.
As long as we're busting myths, let's bust a really sensitive topic. And I know that this is one that you and I both care deeply about. Transgender care. We see patients who are seeking this kind of care. We have people in our lives who are of the transgender community, and they're really under attack right now. There is a move in Project 2025 to eliminate transgender people. So they need our protection. They need our help right now. But I think that from a physician's perspective, there's this idea in normal society that transgender care means taking parts like surgery, taking parts away. But that's not actually true, is it?
No. No, and I think something that's really important for everyone to understand, especially healthcare providers, may that be nurse practitioners, our medical assistants that are rooming patients, the front desk staff. There's a huge study that looked at it's called the U.S. Transgender Survey. They sent it out to patients that identified as transgender and non-binary in 2015 and then again in 2022. And they got 92,000 responses. So it's a very like in-depth look at patient experiences. And it is a survey, so there's, you know, things that go along with that. But they found in 2015, they're still going through the 2022 data, but the 2015 that 25% of patients that identify as transgender or non-binary have had some sort of negative experience in the healthcare system. So that's 1 in 4 have had someone that misgendered them, that made them feel less, they felt that they were touched inappropriately, any of that. Anytime I have a patient that identifies as transgender or non-binary, I think about that stat before I walk in the room, is that 1 in 4 of those patients have had a negative experience. So it's so important to go in. And not only that, like you said, like they're under attack from the government, being told that they're, you know, not real people. It's just, it's sick. So when I walk into the room, the first thing I say is that, hi, I'm Dr. Hanks. I use she, her pronouns. Can you tell me your name and pronouns? Or like, usually they'll do that. And it's like, you can just see this, like, you know, like this, that moment of like, okay. And it's that first interaction is just so important. And I really drive that home with my learners, my medical students and residents. I'm like, this is what you will say. And this is how you're going to create an environment where we can have a good conversation and take care of our patients.
And what does the conversation generally look like? Like how, when you do a first meeting with someone who is seeking this kind of care, are you immediately like, let's just do a whole bunch of surgery? Or what are the first steps? Because that's what politicians want us to believe, that that's all it is. But you and I know it's so much different than that.
Yeah, it's so much more. And I think what's also really frustrating, just the assumptions that like that we're doing surgery or throwing medications at people, or that, you know, we hear about this rapid onset change. And I actually was having a conversation. The person that watches our kids that I like love and is one of like a dear friend, identifies as non-binary. And we were kind of talking about this the other night, and they were saying like, yeah, I would love to have not woken up every day of my life feeling like I was born in the wrong body. Like that would have been great, but that's not my reality. And it just made me so sad. Like not only that they had to go through that, but then to be told that that's, they're doing it for some other reason, or, oh, it's a trend, and, you know, and it's like, you have no idea the struggle that a lot of this patient population has gone through to get to my office, to then say like, this is what I'm thinking about. Like I'm interested in possibly hormones to help me fit into the body that I feel like I should have or be born into. And sometimes that involves surgery. Sometimes that involves medication. But a lot of times it just involves talking and listening and hearing where, you know, what they've been through and what, how can I help? I have never, ever met someone and right away started meds or right away gone to the OR. Like that's just not a thing. And that's not how we practice. It's building relationships. It's listening to our patients.
And it's all on the spectrum of care that we offer our patients, whether they are transgender or a lesbian or victims of sexual violence or whatever. It's so much about connecting with our patients and being able to provide them the care that they need. Hey, absolutely. This is Dr. Kristen Lyerly. I am here with Dr. Laura Hanks. She is Dr. Hanks at Your Cervix. We've been having this amazing talk about all the things that we get to talk about all the time, but today you get to be part of our conversation. When we come back, do you want to talk about sterilization and the amazing study that you guys did?
I would love to. Yes, that's a good one. It's going to bring it full circle from our first part of our talk.
That's right. All right, come on back after this short break.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Heather Williams, she's president of the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee.
We have our spotlight races. We share them on our website. You can head to dlcc.org. And they are excellent places for people who want to get involved. And frankly, who know that we are not going to win this election on vibes. Like, we have to get out and do the work. And we must communicate with our neighbors, with our community. We must show up for people. Not only do they deserve it, but they expect it.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Actor, writer, and my son, Joe Schwabe. Do you have a favorite one-hit wonder song, Joe?
I don't know. That's not great radio.
30
I'm
seconds.
Giving you right
what,
now.
But, what about What Does the Fox Say? We grew up kind of in the same era, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, what is the Fox Say? Or Gundam Style?
Oh, those are terrible.
That's songs. Another one. Oh, whatever.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Milwaukee Brewers radio broadcasts give you reasons to get excited, keep you informed, and provide a great laugh. It's awesome listening on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 Richland Center.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center. We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center. We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley here with my friend, Dr. Laura Hanks. Dr. Hanks at your cervix. And we are talking all things OBGYN. Welcome. Yeah, you may or may not want to be here for this conversation. I think you do, though. We've talked about periods. We've talked about the abortion environment. We've talked about trans care. Let's bring it full circle. Let's talk about sterilization. You guys did an incredible study about sterilization rates after the Dobbs decision. What did that study show?
So at our institution, right away after the Dobbs decision happened, we noticed anecdotally, a lot of patients asking for tubal sterilization, meaning removing their fallopian tubes, and a colloquially termed tying your tubes. So we thought, let's look at the data. Let's look at the charts. And we went back in the immediate year following the Dobbs decision, when we did not have access to abortions in Wisconsin, the rate of that procedure went up 106%.
Wait a minute. So that means it more than doubled.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
So as it turns out, and I would say the next step of our study would be to look closer at people's reasoning for that. But I will tell you what my patient said is, I'm scared. I'm scared about getting pregnant and not having the ability to get an abortion. I I heard a lot of patients that said, I'm in a same-sex relationship, but I have a history of sexual abuse. And I'm afraid that if I were to be raped, I would be forced to have a baby that I don't want. Many, many patients, and we saw the biggest uptick in people that had never been pregnant and were very young, like in their 20s. And
those are so hard.
They are hard, and there is a lot of counseling. We do not just go straight to the OR. There is a lot of counseling that goes into that. But it was very interesting to me. It was almost word for word. Each one of those patients specifically would say, ever since I had my first period, I knew I never wanted to be pregnant. And then they would always follow that up with, you can ask my mom. I always thought that was very interesting, because I'm like, well, I'm not going to ask your mom. But it's interesting that, like, you are so sure of that. They were so, like, such a visceral reaction to them having a period and the idea of getting pregnant. Like, they knew that they didn't want to ever have a baby, but having that bodily autonomy taken away from them was what brought them into my office. Like, they were like, okay, I can, like, get through life and periods, but, like, now that I don't have access to abortions, I need to fix this. I need to get my bodily autonomy back. Again, this is more like my, what I'm getting from talking to the patients. That part has not been actually studied, if we're going to talk about good real data. Right. But what our data did show is that there was 106% increase after the Dobbs decision.
Which I think you can assume that tells us in general that people were clearly very concerned about unplanned pregnancies.
Yes.
And they recognized that there were fewer options here in Wisconsin mm-hmm. as a result of political interference in our healthcare.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, we're even hearing now about attacks on contraception, attacks on medication abortion, which over 60% of abortions these days are medication abortion related. But recently the FDA has submitted a request to review the safety and efficacy data on mifepristone. This is the next step in the big backdoor abortion ban that is happening right now. If mifepristone is considered unsafe by the FDA, most of the women who seek abortion care in this country won't be able to get it. These abortions that people are getting by mail, which is not my favorite way to offer health care. I like my patients to come to the office and to talk to me and to be truly cared for. But right now, that's the only option, especially for the southeastern part of this country. So mm-hmm. it's really scary. It's really dangerous. Mm-hmm. And it really highlights the slippery slope that women of reproductive age are facing right now in this country.
Yeah. And this is really heavy, so I'm going to make it light. Do you think that President Trump knows how to pronounce mifepristone?
No. But I'd like to see him try.
or that he knows the difference between mifepristone and misoprostol?
No.
Just throwing that out there.
No.
But I'm sure he has a lot of opinions about how we should take it.
Yeah.
Anyway, you had a really good point.
Tough it out, Hanks.
Tough it out. Cheers.
Hey, what is the craziest thing? We were just talking about partner stories during the break. I did a delivery recently, and it was beautiful. It was their first baby, and the dad had, talk about a playlist. He had the most amazing playlist. They had been making it their entire pregnancy. We were all loving it. And right as she was crowning, just about to have the baby, I said, we're going to have a baby here in just a few seconds. And he was fumbling with his phone. And all of a sudden, like, the baby's head came out and I heard, ah, Savinia! Na-na-na-na-na-na.
Did you hold the baby up? Did you do it? You have to.
I couldn't because she was on hands and knees and it was a little too complicated, but it was so awesome. But I bet you have had similar partner experiences.
Yeah. It's like, I love the relationship that you get in the room and just like, it can all be like so beautiful and so messy sometimes, but we were recently, I had a very anxious patient, and we're, you know, during C-sections, patients are awake. And so I really do try to remind people that the, you know, patients can hear. And so I try to throughout say like, everything's going good. Or like, if it's not, just be like, you know, we're having a little more bleeding, but this particular C-section was going just fine. And, I think there's a funny clip of, I think it was Kristen Bell's husband talks about walking by to go see the baby. And he's like, don't look right. Because you're going to see some stuff. And I had this patient partner who walked by and I just hear him go, there's so much blood. And he comes around her. He's like, honey, there's so much blood. And there wasn't a lot. It was just normal. And I didn't want to, like, you know, minimize it. But I was like, well, we're doing okay. Like, why don't you sit down, sir? Like, if you're feeling lightheaded, that's okay. Like, we're taking good care of both of you.
It's a lot, though. And it is traumatic.
It's traumatic. And I don't mean to, like, play that down, because it's, you know, it's our office, right? Like, this is what we're used to, but not everyone is. And so we are respectful of that.
And that's why this conversation is so great, because not everybody gets to have these conversations.
Yeah.
So if you have enjoyed it, friends, please give us a like, subscribe. Drop us questions, because we can do this again. My friend, Dr. Laura Hanks, Dr. Hanks at your cervix, thank you for hanging out today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always so good to talk to you and to be with like-minded, wonderful humans out there just doing the work.
Doing the work for our patients. Yes, ma'am.
You got it.
All right, friends, if you missed any part of our show, you can catch it wherever you get your podcasts. And I'll see you next time. Dr. Kristen Lyerly, out.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. California Governor Gavin Newsom just issued a statement saying that after a federal judge yesterday temporarily blocked President Trump from taking over the Oregon National Guard and sending them to Portland, President Trump is deploying 300 California National Guard to Oregon. Newsom calling it a breathtaking abuse of the law and power, calling on the public not to remain silent about it. At the White House today, the president.
Portland is burning to the ground. It's insurrectionists all over the place. It's Antifa.
Local and state officials and a federal judge say that is not true. It is not a done deal, but President Trump is promoting the U.S.-led Gaza peace plan as nearly done. A U.S. delegation is part of talks in Cairo. Day five of the federal government shutdown, no negotiations indicated. Rescue efforts underway to clear roads to campsites on Tibet's Mount Everest, where nearly 1,000 people have been trapped by a blizzard, say Chinese media. This is ABC News.